Welcome to our podcast, Transparently Speaking. I am Diana, and I have a son who transitioned at a young age to become his true self.
And I am Joy. I have also supported my daughter to transition at an early age. We are here to share our experience and our learning along this journey.
We want to provide support and guidance parent to parent. And if you find yourself on a similar journey, we want you to know that you are not alone.
So let's dive in, Transparently Speaking. Diana, I know over spring break, you guys took a trip to go check out Clark's future school. I'm really curious to hear how that went.
Well, let me clarify that. First off, the school was on spring break. This is the second year in a row. So he has never actually visited the school when it's been in session.
Oh, the school itself was on spring break too.
Yes. So he has never attended a class. He's never been there when it's in session, which... I think knowing what the school offers, that's great. I just think for him, knowing him, like having a chance to experience, to know what it's like is beneficial before he actually goes, if that makes sense. Like to know what a class looks like, how it's run, what would he have to bring. Like I think all that would be helpful. And as I say that, I'm like, what we learned. Our main thing there was to find a place for him to live because the school doesn't have housing. They will pair you up with a roommate if you want. And initially, before we went, that's what he wanted. And then while we were there at some point, he said he may not want that. So he's going back and forth, which I make mean a lot of things, makes me more concerned. I just think I find it very easy to get concerned. So...
Okay, well, let's be honest. This is like a huge life event. This is your oldest leaving the house. So it's the first of your kids to be leaving and heading off to school. So I can imagine there's a lot here for you. I just don't want to minimize this concern that I'm hearing you voice.
Well, and it probably didn't help that I'm reading, finishing George M. Johnson's book, All Boys Aren't Blue. And they mention in the book that when they decided to go to college, the college they originally wanted to go to, their mom was like, no, that's too far away. I can't get to you if something happens. So they went to a school that was more, quote, driving distance. And I read that and I was like, it's not driving distance. I mean, if I have 2 to 3 days, it's driving distance. Like it's a 30-hour trip. So I go, no. What was I thinking? And I laugh about that. And I do have these moments of like little panics. And I stick to what I truly believe in, which is the best opportunity for him for what he wants to do, playing guitar. And for him not to go would be a bigger sadness for me of living scared. So I have to live scared right now.
So it's like transitioning his version of living scared for yours. Like somehow you need to live scared so he can have this opportunity.
Yes. And if he demonstrates any aspect of what I think is being fearful of this change, which is natural, it's normal. Like, I don't know about you, but when I went to college, well, I was ready to go. I have to be honest. I was like, bye. But I'm sure that, you know, there is the like, I don't know what to expect.
But what was your point that if he demonstrates any fear,
then I get more concerned. So even, you know, he made the comment before we went on spring break, said something like, oh, it's going to be weird. And I had to really think about this. What he actually said is it's going to be weird to live by myself, not to be here at home. That is such a benign comment, but somewhere in my brain, that's why I have to remind myself, he said it's going to be weird. Because my brain wants to say, like, he's scared, it's terrible, he's hesitating on going. It's like, no, he just said it would be weird. And it will be weird to go from living in a house of 6 people to by yourself or one other person. Like, there's nothing strange about that comment up in my head. And I'm like, am I picking up on something?
Yeah, what our brain does.
But I think the bigger issue when it says that, like, am I picking up on something? It's like, I need to do something is the next thought after that. I need to do something so that he feels as confident as he can to go. And it's like, calm down. Calm down, Diana.
Okay. So that was even before you went.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you were just explaining you got a little concerned just simply because he's unclear right now whether he wants the roommate.
Right. So I made it mean something great when he first said, you know what, I thought about it and I think I do want a roommate. And I thought that was great. I think because he's such a quiet kid, he takes a little bit of time to warm up to people. He more looks for people to come to him. He's not the type of person where he's going to go up to somebody and talk to them. He's going to wait for them to come to talk to him. So I thought by having a roommate, it allows him to meet one person because he doesn't know anybody at that school. And I don't know if they have anything at that school that fosters community for the students or not. I guess it's a question I can ask, but I thought like having a roommate, that'd be such a good thing. And it's a good skill, you know, to learn how to live with somebody else that's not your family.
I was going to say, well, he has, as you named before, he has five people he's been living with, but yes.
Yeah. And then when we were there, I believe it would be so beneficial to him to take the chance to have a roommate.
And I heard you say that in different words by encouraging him or noticing, recognizing the positive stories that could come. But have you told him that would be your preference?
No. I have a general rule with my teenagers that I do not try to tell them. That's not always true. But I worry for him in particular, if I said, this is what I want, then his personality would be to choose that for me. Now, number two, Grayson would do the opposite of what I wanted him to do. So it's all about knowing your kids.
Yes, mine are more like Grayson.
But Clark would do it for me. Oh, financially, this reason, that reason, they want me to, I'll do it. If I brought up that it would be cheaper for him to have a roommate, he would do it for that reason. If I brought up it would help him make friends, I don't necessarily know that he would listen to me.
Mm.
So, and I do believe in his insights more than I do, but maybe, I mean, it's a valid point. I don't have to necessarily tell him what I want. I can see us having a conversation of, here's why I think it would be helpful to have it. Here's why I lean towards that. And I trust what you decide for yourself. I could probably once alone have that conversation. There was one interesting thing that came up between Clark and myself is when he talked about a roommate, I asked him, this was a little bit when he first mentioned about getting a roommate, I asked him, have you thought about whether you would tell them you're transgender or not? And this piggybacks a little bit over our last conversation about talking about sex with kids, in that there is a little bit of a hesitation for me to ask that question. Like, am I going to create shame? Am I going to create dysphoria as if there's something wrong? Obviously, I don't think there's something wrong. I don't know whether he has to or doesn't. I don't have a strong opinion on that. But I was wondering what he was thinking. And I kind of told him that. But he got, this is me reading his body language, it tightened up when I asked him. And he's like, well, I honestly have not thought about it. I don't know. I don't think so, but I haven't thought about it. And so I think I always feel bad when he says, like, I haven't even thought about it. Then I feel bad, like, is it a service or a disservice to bring it up?
Mm.
I don't know the answer to that either.
What comes up for me as you're sharing that is a whole bunch of guessing and making assumptions, right? Which is not helpful, but it's the sort of like, ooh, does then he think that he should be thinking about that, or that that's a consideration now that he needs to add to his list of things to think about? Or,
right. Did I give him a worry?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it good to think about this ahead of time? And regardless of what he chooses, to choose it intentionally. I'd like to think that. And I also, if I take a step back, I also know him. Well, actually, I'm not sure. I was going to say what I would guess is sometimes I think he just, I don't know that this is true, but what I was going to say is like, I almost think like he doesn't want to think about it and just go in. But I don't know that that's true. I sometimes, like looking at our history, I mean, he transitioned, it'll be 11 years in July, been a long time. And when we moved to where we live now, where he chose to be non-disclosed for the first time, I gave him warnings left and right, right? But they're going to find out. We moved right next door. Like, it's literally the town next door. People interact with the people from the town we used to live in. Like, it's not going to stay private. So, like, I warned him. And we are now... Over 6 years later, And it's never come out in that way. It's snuck a little bit, but not really. So it's like, well, do I worry over nothing? And then the same thing with going to overnights. You know, do we tell? Initially, our vote was we should tell, and then who we should tell. And he kind of kept pushing, like, it's not necessary, not necessary. And he's always been proven correct.
What's coming up for you as you think through all that?
Well, I also think I've established through all of that, because they've always been conversations. I've never told him, like, oh, we have to disclose. You know, I've said what I thought, and my thoughts have changed along because of the experience of it not coming out or whatever. But I've also always valued his perception, his opinion. So I do have that investment. Like, he knows that I do value his opinion. And then what comes up is me asking, will you tell your roommate? Do I take that away? Like, there's a part of me, like, do I take it away that I didn't value that he can figure these things out on his own, that I'm asking him? But at the end of the day, I would like to believe that he knows where my heart is, and yeah, that he knows where my heart is.
I'd like to offer that it, to me, granted, I'm not your child, so I have no idea, right, what's going through Clark's head, but it truly felt, the question of, have you thought of this, felt like you might want to be intentional as you choose to make a decision here. And so better to think about it now than, you know, to find yourself in an awkward situation later, maybe if somebody were to be bold enough even to ask, let's say.
And I think it goes to a common question that I've had, that I've heard other parents have as well, is like, am I making this a bigger deal than it needs to be? I think there's a feeling of that too. And I mean, I don't think so. I do think it's important to be intentional in a living situation. I think what just came up for me is when we were flying out to California, or like right before, somewhere along the lines, I was looking through Instagram, and I think there were three different stories of violence against transgender people in Los Angeles. One was a transgender man by the police.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And in Los Angeles.
Like, devastating.
I'm like, why, world, are you giving to me this three times in one day when I haven't seen any of this? And then today I saw there was a transgender woman that was shot and killed in Los Angeles. You know, I think a lot of people always say, oh, you know, he's going to California. That, no, he's going to Los Angeles. Like, they're very open and great places to go for transgender people. I don't think that's totally wrong. And it's not totally right.
I feel like in our world, I don't know what is safe. I don't know where is safe, because we can't control, we can't know what any one individual's mindset, mind share, perspective, beliefs are. And unfortunately, as we continue to see in the news, there are a whole lot of different perspectives, beliefs, and opinions about how we as human beings should respond, react, set rules around individuals who identify as transgender or gender nonconforming. And that feels really scary.
I think what came up for me with that is that if I go back to think of the question, are you telling your roommate? It was coming from an energy of trying to prevent danger. And maybe that's the tightening of his body, is that he picked up. It wasn't just a, like,
it wasn't.
Yeah, it wasn't like, let's just be intentional. It was like, I don't want anything to happen to you, and for me not to have asked, and not to have had you think through this. So it is intentional, but it's a different energy than coming from, like, you know, I don't know, like, love. And not that love's under there, under the fear, right? But it was leading with fear. So I think, go ahead.
I was going to ask, as you acknowledge that, as you say that now, and we hear the tears, what are the tears saying?
It's like, I've heard other people that send their kids to college or, you know, out of the house say that it's like letting your heart walk away. And I think that's it. And I know, like, I think in our talking about safety, I realize, and we've talked about this before, like, we can't guarantee any of their safety. And it's recognizing that we're like, he's going to go and there's nothing I can do. Not that there's anything I can do here either, but you know, it's at least I get to see him every day here. And I did ask him when we were in California, I said, what do you think the appropriate amount of communication between us is when you're gone? I just like to know what you're thinking. And he's like, you can text me anytime, but I don't think phone calls need to be daily. But I think that's it. There's that desire of like what I, you know, maybe it's a false sense of security, but I love, you know, what I call laying eyes on him to get a feel for where he's at, how he's doing. But it's time to let it go. And I think that's hard. The desire to protect is still there.
And I imagine we'll always be there.
Yeah, true. My in-laws were the greatest at letting their kids go. They're like, bye. They didn't care who they married. I mean, not that they didn't care, but do you know what I mean? They put no expectation on it. They're like, oh yeah, time to go. Bye.
Do you think, is that just your perception or do you think that's real?
I think it's real that they were like, they knew these kids would grow up and go and they were like, bye-bye. Not, but that doesn't mean they didn't care. They didn't, you know, think about protection. But I do think they leaned, I mean, unfortunately, they both have passed now, so I can't ask them. But I do think knowing them for the amount I got to know them, that they both believed their kids had good heads on their shoulders. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that about Clark. I go to that a lot. He's a good head on his shoulder. He's a good head on his shoulder. But every once in a while, I do think, like, you're a little ditzy sometimes. Good thing he doesn't listen to this. But then I think of myself at that age. And what I mean by ditzy is unaware, right? But so was I. So there's just some things you have to learn along the way.
And I feel that in all the stories you've shared and all the things that we hear from you, you have done an amazing job setting Clark up for success. And just the way I hear you today talk about the questions you ask him and how you lead with those questions rather than telling him what he needs to think about or how he should feel or what he should do. It's all so empowering, Diana. And it's a beautiful set of role modeling because those aren't my initial instincts at all. I want to offer that to you.
Thank you. Maybe I do have a little bit of my in-laws in me. I do look forward to, I probably will be the one that drives with him out there. Although I'll have to close my eyes when he drives.
Maybe you can try to sleep. I don't know if that'll work for you.
Yeah, I tend to shop. Distracted on my phone and virtual shopping. No, but I want to cherish that time to drive out there with him. It's going to take us probably 3 days to get there and move him in. And I want to cherish it. And I also want, when it's time for me to go, for him to be like, please get out of here. Because that's the way I was moving into my college dorm. I'm like, okay, enough. Bye-bye. Bye. Get out. Like, enough. No, actually, I would feel horrible if that's the way it left. But do you know what I mean? Like, I want him, maybe there's something in between where I want, when it's time for me to go, for him to be like, I can do this. I'm ready. Not you're annoying.
I was going to say, well, what I was going to say is I'm pretty sure Samantha would jump at the opportunity to be saying those words to me like tomorrow. And so I hope there's some version of in between what of the two situations you described from like, oh no, I'm scared. Don't leave. I need you to, like, other than just shoo you out, like, get out of here. I'm finally past you. Yay.
And Clark would not be like, don't leave me here. He would not. I can't even imagine it, knowing all the things he's done in his life. But I could see him just quiet and withdrawn. That's what I don't want to see. I guess I can't control it either.
And like I said, I'm going to say it again. You're doing an amazing job setting him up for this next stage in his life. And of course, it's terrifying. And I am devastated that these news stories came up for you just as you guys were heading out there. That's terrifying. And there are helpers. There are amazing people out there. And I hope Clark is lucky enough to either have a roommate or develop an amazing friendship with one the first days that he's there on site.
Me too.
That's a wrap on this episode of Transparently Speaking. Thanks for joining us today. Join us again on the 1st and 15th of every month for our next podcast.
Thank you to Filter for our awesome music. That's P-H-I-L-T-Y-R. Check them out at Apple Music, YouTube Music, Spotify, or anywhere you download music. As a reminder, we welcome your feedback and questions. Email us anytime at transparentlyspeakingpodcast@gmail.com.
If you're taking something away from our podcast, we'd appreciate if you'd take a moment to provide us a review. The more listeners and reviews, the more people we can reach and support. Thanks in advance. Cheers from Joy
and Diana.